This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand. Over the weekend, Russian voters overwhelmingly re-elected President Vladimir Putin. Criticism from international observers over the pro-Putin bias in the state media and instances of vote rigging cast a shadow over the contest. Nonetheless, Putin is widely popular in Russia. As NPR's Lawrence Sheets reports from Moscow, many are wondering what he plans to do with his virtually unchecked powers.
To say that Vladimir Putin has a firm grip over the world's biggest country would be an understatement. In addition to his resounding re-election, his allies have a two-thirds majority in parliament. That gives Putin the ability to amend Russia's constitution virtually at will. If he so decided, he could remove a term limit provision and stay in power indefinitely. But Putin hasn't given many specifics about what he intends to do with his czar-like powers. He's ambitiously called for doubling the size of Russia's economy in a decade. After he was re-elected, Putin indicated that more economic reforms were on the horizon.
We will act decisively, but we will explain every step so that people understand what is being done and why carrying out transformations wither in the economic or social sphere.
So what exactly is Putin talking about?
We can only guess.
Alexander Goltz is deputy editor-in-chief of the liberal Ezhenedelny Journal Weekly.
There are optimists who insist that he needs this ultimate power in order to conduct very serious and maybe very unpopular reforms, liberal reforms.
With Putin's power now fully consolidated, investment bankers like Stephen O'Sullivan of United Financial Group in Moscow expect a relatively activist approach from the Kremlin leader.
But I think it'll be looking for issues like bureaucratic reform. There are obviously too many bureaucrats in Russia.
There always have been. Even 19th century Russian writers like Nikolai Gogol lampooned the country's bloated army of chinovniki, or civil servants. He scoffed at their pedantic ways, an endless source of headaches for ordinary folks. But Nikolai Ryabov of the Moscow Carnegie Center says tossing bureaucrats out of work involves a contradiction. It was Putin's regional strongmen and their legions of loyal state officials who delivered a big election turnout for him.
Maybe one of the fundamental problems of the next term of his presidency will be how it is possible to make political and economic changes relying on the state bureaucracy only. It doesn't want any reforms.
But Stephen O'Sullivan of United Financial Group notes that Putin came to power heavily reliant on another group, the so-called oligarchs, rich tycoons who capitalized on the anarchy of the 1990s.
Let's look back to 2000 when he was first elected. He had to rely very much on the oligarchs and the existing levers of power then. He arrived in power, I'd say, relatively weak. He was in hock to the oligarchs. He was under the influence of those who'd helped him get elected. About a year afterwards, he started cutting his ties with them.
Several of the oligarchs who challenged Putin politically have gone into exile. And the country's richest man, oil baron Mikhail Kharkovsky, is now in jail on allegations of tax evasion. Kharkovsky had openly challenged Putin politically. He'd bankrolled candidates seen as sympathetic to legislation benefiting his oil company, Yukos. Russia may now be capitalist, but rich Russian businessmen are expected to toe the Kremlin's political line. Kirill Rogov of the online Russian newspaper Gazeta.ru argues that Putin will likely seek to liberalize the economy, but he predicts much more rigid political control.
There is no doubt that Putin does favor modernization, but in a way that is understood by the security services. And their ideal is China. The Chinese leadership managed to do what the Soviet elite could not.
Rogov says many in the Kremlin admire China for having achieved economic liberalization without political reforms. He says the security services now want to turn back the clock. Some here also expect Russia to try and reverse the loss of its influence in what it calls the near abroad, its former empire made up of now independent ex-Soviet republics. Russia has already reneged on an agreement to withdraw its military bases from the former Soviet Republic of Georgia. And Moscow this week backed a maverick regional Georgian strongman, Aslan Abashidze, who's locked in a confrontation with Georgia's new democratic government. Georgia has demanded Abashidze hold free elections in his home region of Adjara and accept central government control. But Russia this week warned Georgia to keep its hands off Abashidze and his fiefdom. Abashidze is a patron of the Kremlin. His region is home to one of the military bases in Georgia that Russia refuses to close. Lawrence Sheets, NPR News, Moscow.